four quarterbacks.
Is this team going to carry four quarterbacks into the regular season?
How the heck are we going to do that with 13 receivers?
Who's playing tight end?
So many questions need to be answered.
MYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli. I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five, dead or alive. NYJ.
Welcome, everybody, to the New York Jets Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli. Here, as usual, my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
The first fat has been trimmed off of the steak. That is the 2016 New York Jets.
We're looking a little slimmer. Just a little bit.
Your boy happens to be sitting atop this list, numero uno, as well. Deion Barnes let us off. Jets jumped the gun on us. They decided to make the announcements, let these guys get a chance to go out there, find a little work. But they let us off with Deion Barnes, strong side, outside linebacker. Followed up by Helva Montegula, defensive lineman. Offensive lineman Jesse Davis, running back Terry Williams. Kicker Ross Martin, what a fall from grace for this end of this studio, huh?
55-yarder, and then we'll say, see you later.
I got to be honest, I hope he showed the Giants a little something. I really do. Why not? They got that Mamouk for a kicker right now as it is.
I do think he gets another shot in the NFL, though.
I hope so. Seems to have a decent leg. Just the lights were a little bright early on, and we got a hell of a veteran that's holding the fort right now, so we're okay. Jason Vandalon, quarterback that we turned into a tight end for camp. Felt like they had a little high hopes based on the money they gave him when they brought him in, but it is what it is there. Jarvis Harrison, another investment, last year's fifth-round pick.
I guess we're still not going to see him.
Yeah, and truthfully, there's a couple different schools of thought out there in terms of when you cut a guy and a certain amount of guys you want to bring back on your practice squad and sneaking them through. Me, my practice squad, in my opinion, gets cut with the second wave. I don't think anybody here that will be exposed for 8 to 9 days to the rest of the league is really a high priority to bring back on the taxi squad.
Well, that would have to be obviously Harrison is not somebody that we're really interested in.
I mean, investment was made, so it was somebody we felt we wanted to work with. But you look at a guy for a year and a half, 2 years, you should know what he is if you got a decent evaluation staff. And they made their statement. Kyle Friend, undrafted free agent out of Temple. Todd Bowles, alma mater there. We got another one putting in work. We're obviously going to get there. Where we at here? Kyle Williams, return man we brought in, formerly of the Niners. We all know his problems. Lake Seastrunk, running back we brought in late. Needed some camp legs. This was a guy who really slim pickings as it was for getting on this roster. Shelby Harris, guy you after week one were ready to put on this team.
Yeah, I thought he'd be there a little longer, but he's one of their first cuts. Obviously, just like you said, bring him in, bring a guy that's a veteran in here, see what he can do, and then let him go off to the league and hopefully get a job somewhere.
For me, I almost feel this is Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan doing right by a guy because he hasn't looked terrible. He really hasn't. He hasn't stuck out in terms of being a liability for when he was playing. He's a guy who's a little longer in the tooth in comparison to some of these other names. And let him go out there and maybe impress in camp for a week and have a chance to lock down a spot on another team.
Yeah, I think that he's a player that comes after an injury on another team. Maybe you'll see him in a couple snaps this year, I think.
Rounding out the moves for that day is Devin Smith officially being placed on the PUP list. Physically unable to perform, out for the first 6 weeks. He's got a 2 to 3 week window where he can be activated to the 53-man roster after that. Disappointing, to say the least. But not surprising.
No, I'm not surprised at all. Obviously, Devin's had injury issues. I'm happy that he's on a PUP list, though. That means he's not gone for the year, and maybe we'll be able to see him this year. So I'm cool with it right now, especially we have so many wide receivers to look at, so many young guys. I'm cool with this.
Now, the following day, Romar Morris, it was put out, Twitter, back channels, that he was waived/injured. Get a little bit of a settlement. Got a chance to move on from him now because you can't just release a guy that's hurt. That was announced the next day, but the Jets made the official announcement Tuesday. You're looking at Jake Ceresna and Deion Bailey.
The last cut.
Safety that we've talked about a little bit on here. And you want to talk about a fall from grace. This is a guy that got signed and was out there playing in London. A guy that it looked like they kind of had earmarked as somewhat of a depth piece for the future. And I got to hope my boy Doug Middleton's got something to do with that. But I think more so the way he acted on the practice field a little over a week ago has a lot to do with this.
I also think one of the MVPs of the preseason in special teams has a big reason for that cut.
And that would be?
Rontez Miles, baby.
What else is new? You knew you were going to hear it.
You had to hear
it.
We're in the safety position.
It's just a matter of how many times you're going to hear it at this point.
So, like I was saying, Rontez dominated like he does in the preseason because he's that player that's just on that cuff of being a really good player that's coming into the games all the time to a player that's way better than any of those players coming preseason.
Okay, when you said on the cusp there, I really thought you were going to say making the roster because he's a guy that I kind of was thinking about the other day in terms of I wonder what it's like when your mindset changes because Rontez is a guy who had to sit there through the first wave of cuts, bouncing the knee, sweating. Last year or two, he's a guy who had to sit there through the second wave of cuts. And then last year, if you remember, made the team. Got cut the next day when the Jets were able to bring in Ronald Martin. And we went back and forth on that.
And we were lucky. We were lucky to bring him back. We're very lucky.
I
everybody
I
should
said
be
back then. I just thought Martin was a guy they wanted to work with. But that was a good back and forth right there. Because you know what? That was a situation where I almost felt they did Rontez wrong. And I'm happy that he's gotten a chance to take care of business here.
And what I meant, what I was just talking about, that he's better than most players in the league that are trying to make a team. He's got some veteran experience now making teams, making the Jets, and getting cut and making the team again. I just think that he's too good to let go. He's too good. He's always near the ball. He's always a player he's a player you want on the team.
I think he's honestly a little too liked to let go. And I'm not even talking about sitting here on the NYJ couch scouts. I'm talking about in the locker room. I really think he's an undercover leader in that locker room. I really do.
I was just going to talk over you. Yeah, I think he's a leader too. I think he's got a lot of trash talk behind him that they
absolutely
like.
Absolutely. I think I kind of see him as a guy who could sit there and chop it up and vibe with a Calvin Pryor.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think he fits in with a lot of different crews on this team, a lot of different areas, and I think he's a valuable piece to have on a football team.
I think the organization likes him a lot because he's doing a lot of work for NewYorkJets.com and doing some interviews and interviewing his teammates and whatnot. So I think that he's a player that they like all around that organization.
Well, I'll tell you what, we teased it pre-show as a little you want to do it, so we're going to go there. We're going to go backwards on this roster. Everybody goes quarterback to kicker, quarterback to I'm a defensive guy through and through. Let's start off with our D, and let's get right into the safety position. Doug Middleton, we just brought up. I think this move here with Deion Bailey, I don't want to say solidifies his roster spot, but I think his roster spot is his to lose at this point. Ronald Martin's a guy I kind of see as another year practice squad, bounce back and forth, weeks we need him, weeks somebody's down. It's what he did in 2015. I think that's the position he's in 2016 as well.
What I want to say about that, you think that Doug Middleton has showed enough to have Ronald Martin cut and possibly lost? Because another team might be looking at a player like Ronald Martin who has some game experience, and he might not come back to make the practice
squad. I understand the question there. I'm not really in fear of losing a Ronald Martin, to be honest. And we shouldn't be in fear of losing a Doug Middleton. But I want to work with him. I kind of like what I've seen. I can't say he's done enough to just kick Ronald Martin off this team. I just think when it comes to the numbers game, when it comes to the idea of 2 and 3 years down the line, and just in terms of if they're fighting for one spot, one guy's got to win. And I feel like Doug Middleton's that guy now.
You're taking the younger guy.
Not even by a lot. I'm taking the guy that I think has a higher upside and a guy that I don't know as much about right now. And it sounds silly to say something like that, but we are still building this team. We are ahead of where we should be right now as an organization. So to me, you are still looking at this roster as whose guys 3 and 4 years down the line that we as a regime have evaluated and we want to stay with or we want to work with and we can help get better and groom. You've now had a full year with Ronald Martin. So you know the progression, the growth a player like that has already made. Now you can pair that. The mystery of a Doug Middleton is you don't know how much better he can get. So I think you have to just look at the growth that you've gotten out of the player over a year and say, is that worth missing out on what I think I can groom him into?
And we talked about a pre-show about, is he a free safety or is he a strong safety?
I don't understand the Jets with that. To me, I have him at free, and I know they're kind of interchangeable pieces nowadays in the NFL, and with the type of mastermind a Todd Bowles is, you got to think they're a little more interchangeable than just saying strong and free. But to me, I put this kid on the depth chart with Ronald Martin, not next to him, and I let them battle it out. But maybe they want to see them on the field together, same time. To do that, you got to make Doug Middleton your strong.
Well, because the only reason I bring that up is because if we do cut Ronald Martin, that means that we have one free safety.
I know, but that's kind of why I padded where I can go now. Don't worry about having one free safety because you're going to have four safeties total, at least based on where I'm going with the 53 and what we've talked about, where I think you're going with it. Obviously, your starters, Marcus Gilchrist at the free and Calvin Pryor at the strong.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time, I can say we have two guys on the back end that I think you know what you're getting and flash the type of playmaking ability throughout a game that is exciting.
All right, let's get into the cornerbacks now, man. We're already in that secondary.
Lead the way.
All right, so I got Darrell, obviously.
The Island.
I don't even know why we even had to say his name. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought his name up. I got Buster Screen at the two or the slot.
Okay.
I got Marcus Williams. Obviously, he hasn't had a rough preseason. I got Justin Burrows, who showed us a lot, who still needs some time in his shoes.
I think it's funny that people bring up the way that he gets burned, too. He's a rookie.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Go ahead, finish it out, and we'll get there.
I got Dexter McDougal. I'm going to call him first because I'm very, very upset. And I got D. Milner because there's no one really going to compete with those two. I think that D. Milner, for me, is obviously he's got some money coming to him. And
that's why he's on the team.
And if he didn't, I think he's a cuttable player because I think that he's disappointed us every time he's on that field.
I think he got cut by Tuesday if he wasn't guaranteed. What is it? We got it up here. 4.19, I think it is. Whatever. Don't even matter. If this guy wasn't on the books guaranteed for a number that you can't just swallow and walk away from, he'd be cut already. And it's hard to say. There's so much there. But with the injuries, and you see him, I defended him after Jacksonville. I think he had good coverage on both of those plays. He got no ball skills. Everybody's got the talent to do what they're doing once you get to a certain level of football. Stuff like ball skills is what separates you in this league.
And when I look at this cornerback position, I'm so upset that we missed out on Antonio Cromartie now that we're talking about D possibly
Listen,
getting
Crow
cut.
Crow had a rough year, and you got to remember, D. Milner, Darryl Morris if he's making it, Dexter McDougal, Justin Burris if he's making it. Can't leave him out. We're going to cover him anyway. Bryson Keaton and Kevin Short, both still on the team, both getting looks tomorrow night in Philly. You know what I mean? These are all guys that give you something on special teams. Crow was not coming back here, barring huge injury, anything like that. Crow wasn't having another return here. So I don't think we missed out on anything. I don't think he was coming. Let's say, God forbid, Buster Screen, or even more, God forbid, Darrell Revis went down in camp. That was the window for Antonio Cromartie. My opinion, but Crow's not giving you anything on core special teams. I'm not talking about being back there and able to catch a kick. I'm talking about running down a kick.
You know, the league is full of a wide receiver duos, and this is what is my weak point in our team right now is the
corner duo?
Is the cornerback a little bit. Because I think Darrell obviously is going to dominate this year, and he's going to have a great year. But then we have a question mark at the two, and I think Buster's good enough.
I think
but
you
I
look
think
at
that
question mark, though, like we don't have a player. Not that we have a player who we're going to be playing in a position that he doesn't excel at. I think you deliver it as if we don't have a Buster Screen. We do. And I think you need to trust Bowles and Casey Rogers a little more.
I have to. As a fan, I have to. I have to trust them. And I do trust them. But when you look at it on paper, it doesn't look that, you know, it doesn't jump out at you.
Not every position is going to in a salary cap type league, though.
Wait till we get to that D-line.
I think it's something. Hey. I think it's something that you that's your that's your glaring, you know, that weak point, right? I got so many places I can go offensively, and I don't really see you're that high on these outside backers. And we know we love Lorenzo Maldon, love the idea of what Jordan Jenkins is going to be, but they are question marks right now.
Yeah, I think that they're young. But I just think the cornerback position was our position to, you know, dominate at the secondary, especially we have a secondary head coach. He was a secondary player in the NFL. I think that cornerback position is scaring me just a little bit. Obviously, I got to see if Marcus Williams can come out in the regular season and do what he did last year. But, you know, that's what on paper, it scares me a little bit.
It'll all play itself out soon enough. And we also said pre-show, I just want to get to week one, man.
I'm excited. I want to
see some real football. And when I see a play go down, know that it counts. Let's get out of tomorrow night healthy. Let's let Hack do his thing a little bit. You know your boy was going crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
It slanging was it.
Greatness.
Effortless.
I'm just biting at the bit to talk about
we'll get there.
Pre-game first week. I want to skip over this damn Eagle game. I just want to talk about first week against the Bengals.
Listen, this Eagle game brings value to two or three guys on this team, for this team, and 5 to 7 guys for other scouts watching around the league. It's somewhat of a necessity, but couldn't agree more. Let's just get out healthy. Let's get into the linebacker position that we were just teasing. We already talked Maldon. We already talked Jenkins. Wrapping up what I would consider our pass rushing linebacker position, Freddie Bishop and a guy who's gotten a lot of burn, Josh Martin. Is there any push from Josh Martin on Freddie Bishop? And how much of a push has Freddie Bishop put on this positional group as a whole to where I personally feel that Trevor Riley may be in trouble?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. But I think that Josh Martin put a lot of time out there. I don't think he's going to compete with Freddie Bishop. I think Freddie Bishop is too conditioned to lose that spot as the backup. And I think, yeah, he is pushing Lorenzo Maldon, but I think Lorenzo Maldon is just too much of a hustler to lose that starting spot.
Hey, I don't think Maldon's the one that really you're worrying about here. I think you got a rookie, and like I said, we like the idea of what we think he is, but you still got to show it on Sundays. Do I think that'll be an issue for Jordan Jenkins? Not for a second. But it's just that question mark that you don't have answered at all right now that needs to be. Talking depth-wise, on the other side, behind Jenkins, you got Mike Catapano and Trevor Riley, who I just touched on. I really think Riley's in a little bit of trouble this year.
And I understand what you're saying, and I'm pretty sure they like Mike Catapano, but I think that Trevor Riley's experience and having some special teams experience as well has given him the position to win that spot over. I think Mike is one of the last cuts.
I think defensively what Catapano can bring you in terms of putting his hand in the dirt, and Riley can do similar things, but in terms of putting his hand in the dirt, in terms of really getting after the passer, I think Riley drops a little better, but that's because Catapano's not a lifelong linebacker.
And do you think that just because of the rookie at the starting position that they want a guy who plays better defensively than at special teams? Because
yes,
I think Riley is the better special teamer.
And I think positionally, especially with Sheldon being out week one, I think regardless of any situation, we're going to be playing a lot more 4-3 or four-man fronts than you've seen from the Jets in a long time.
I think when Sheldon comes back, we're going to see Sheldon, Leo, and Mo out there all the time.
You got to get your best players on the field.
Yep.
And that's what doing that will enable this coaching staff to do. So you got to fit your scheme to your players. You know what I mean? You got to do that.
All right, let's talk about these middle guys, man. We got with the Will, we got Henderson, Lee, Stanford.
How do you feel about Stanford?
I told you over the last couple weeks, I feel like he's a little short, in my opinion. I think that Darren Lee, obviously.
Team. Huh? I think he's on the team.
You think he's on the team,
I think he is your Trevor Riley.
So you think Tywan Jones might be gone, huh?
Unfortunately. But I think Jones should be your highest of priorities for the practice squad. You read going into the offseason that the Jets feel long-term, Tywan Jones can be a replacement for David Harris. I believe that.
Really?
I loved what Tywan Jones did at Michigan State. That whole defense puts in work, though. So might have been part of the reason that a guy like him slips through the cracks and goes undrafted. But I'm telling you right now, decent future on Taiwan Jones, whether it be here or somewhere else. He's going to play in this league.
Like Stafford is, he's a hustler. And I think that's, we have this team is full of those. And they're hard to cut at the end of the day. And he's smaller and scrappier. That is a hard player to cut.
I think he's a pseudo backup position, backup to Darren Lee. To that funky hybrid, what he's going to bring to the scheme. And God forbid one of these guys were to go down. You could throw that out. Because Darren Lee is a true inside linebacker in this scheme. I just really am intrigued by what I think Bowles and Rodgers are going to do with him.
Do you think Stanford is like the Lattimore of last year?
Exactly. Perfectly put. Because that's exactly what I was going to say when we break down who we're cutting. I really do.
Okay.
I think that's the exact spot he takes over too. And you saw Lattimore get a little burn last year.
I like Lattimore. I still like Lattimore. I still like Lattimore. I think he's athletic enough to play in this league.
I liked the idea of Jamari Lattimore. Once he got in the game, he was out of place. He was a step slow. There's a reason Green Bay lets him go. Same reason that Nick Ballore, who he replaced, never cracked that lineup. When you're physically limited,
Nick
you
Ballore.
Will be exposed in this league. It's going to happen.
Gotcha.
Covered the inside. Taiwan Jones, Bruce Carter's the only one you missed there. Carter's going to have a role on this team. I feel he's definitely on it.
I definitely think he's on it. No question.
And we got lucky with David Harris the other night with the shoulder injury. You got very, very lucky.
Super lucky. Even though he's serious. An Iron Man, we got very lucky. He looked
never
like he was
that
in
man
pain.
Show pain. Ever.
Yep.
And he was showing it that night. So I thought that was, at worst, a separated shoulder. I really thought that was a Tony Romo. That's really, I thought that was a clavicle. Collarbone, whatever. I thought something was shattered in there.
Yeah, I thought it was an upper shoulder bone.
Big
too.
Break with that just being a big bruise, as Todd Bowles put it. And your linebacking core is now surprisingly somewhat young, and a step or two faster than last year.
Leading it with David Harris and Henderson, I think those two are the perfect two middle guys right now
for playing especially, off each other. I'll agree with you.
Especially until Darren Lee gets some. Energy and experience
like,
underneath his wings.
Kind of like them boys, what they do with Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly in Carolina. You know?
I get what you're saying. I think that these are going to be the two most consistent tacklers in the league this year.
Well, let's get into what should be the most consistent positional group on our team, the defensive line.
Woohoo!
I'm going to go nose first just because I want to throw you a bone. Big Stevie McClendon, Mac, did his thing this offseason.
Beast.
Alleviated a lot of the chatter that was coming of losing Damon Harrison, and you were anticipating seeing a step back in the run game. I don't think we're going to see that.
This past weekend, we saw Snoopy Bowl, right? We saw Harrison. He looked as great as he could be.
Like I said to you earlier, they're going to expect pass rush from him this year. But he held on to the ball until his kid had another birthday party, but still. Forced to strip.
I don't want to talk about the big blue, but Steve McClendon also looked very dominant. Not that he's a big contract guy or anything, but he looks like he knows what he's doing in the middle there.
Let's talk about dominant with Deion Simon, and I'll be willing to use that word because he's playing against twos and threes. So I'll go out on a limb and say he was dominating. Twos and threes.
Yeah, again,
throughout
like
the last few weeks here.
Just like I talked about Rontez on that cuff of being better than most players in this league and being that player that's actually going to show some time in on a regular season this year.
Taro Bonney, kind of a guy who's worked through camp, Penn State, undrafted. I don't even know if he's a guy who's brought back practice squad.
Possible practice squad
I think
player.
Not, see, I don't because I think Lawrence Thomas has locked up a spot on that practice squad.
Really?
And I don't think he's carrying two. I really don't.
No.
Getting out into the defensive end position, you got Muhammad Wilkerson, Jarvis Jenkins. I feel those are your two that make it into Sunday the 11th.
No question.
Claude Pelone, USC undrafted guy. You got USC, Penn State, and Michigan State as third stringers that are on the bubble / definitely getting cut. Years ago, these are guys we're excited about. I commend Mike Maccagnan for me being able to say a statement like that. I really do. Getting over to DT, I got Big Leo up there right now just because Sheldon's going to be sitting for the first game. But Sheldon and Leo, you think a Lawrence Thomas or a Taro Bonney could sneak on a week one and then get cut revert to the practice squad when Sheldon becomes eligible?
No, I think we're going to see a lot of Jarvis Jenkins, Leo, agreed, Steve McClendon. I think we're going to see more of that week one, and we'll hold it down week one like that because I like Leo and McClendon in the middle like they are. I think that that's a very dominant inner D line there, especially when Leo just freaking balls over anybody.
Excited about his second year.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's going to be the type of step that you imagine players to take.
It's hard to talk about him because he's so speechless. There's nothing to say.
Well,
he's
not only
so
that,
dominant.
But it's hard to say I think he's going to have a dominant year in comparison when he had a good year as a 20-year-old rookie.
If he has an equal year of last year, I'm happy with it.
No, I want to step up.
Well, obviously, he's a first-round pick and one of the best players in the draft, but I would be happy with it. I think what he's doing now in the preseason looks dominant.
All right, so let's put a big bow on this defense here. We've been talking about who we're keeping as we go through. I got Mo, I got Jarvis Jenkins, I got Sheldon McClendon and Deion Simon, and I got Leonard Williams. I'm going into week one with five. I'm willing to have to go three down, two down linemen, and bring out an extra linebacker against Cincinnati.
I got nothing to disagree with you there. I agree totally with that.
Linebacking core, I'm going Jordan Jenkins, Mike Catapano.
That's my question here. I think that question? Trevor gets on this team
okay,
over
so
Mike.
You got Riley and Jenkins. I got Catapano and Jenkins.
Yep.
All right, so we'll put a soda on that one, all right? So on the strong side, on the inside, I got Harrison Carter.
Great.
And we talked about Carter being a little bit more of a will, but with having Darren Lee, and not only with having Darren Lee, with Carter's injury history with the knees, let him start to become a strong side inside backer and flourish in that.
I think Bruce Carter has more talent than anybody thinks he does, and I think that we're going to see some more from him than we do usually from a backup middle linebacker.
Weak on the inside, we got Aaron Henderson starting. Do you feel that's kind of holding a fort? Just touching on it quick. I think he can personally start all 16. He plays the way he should play and is able to play. But do you think he's just holding a fort for 8-10 weeks?
No, I think he's definitely the guy they want starting there. I think Darren Lee is going to be the hybrid player this year. We're going to see a lot of him, though. We're going to see a lot of him.
And I touched on it, Julian Stanford. I feel he's on the team. I feel he's played well enough in camp, carved out a nice little niche special teams-wise, and has value in being a poor man's Darren Lee.
No,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I agree. I agree with you.
Pass rushing, Lorenzo Maldon and Freddie Bishop III.
Yep.
I'm not willing to say, as you asked me before with Doug Middleton, that Freddie Bishop has done enough to guarantee a spot. I think Freddie Bishop offers something that Bowles likes, and I think due to a big battle going on and the fact that they gave him 2 years, in my opinion, says something. I think Freddie Bishop's on the squad.
So you think that Josh Martin possibly can be on the squad, though?
Yes, and I think that's shown by his playing time and his opportunity in the preseason. They've put this guy out there as if he was somebody that they spent an asset on, not a veteran, somewhat veteran linebacker that they brought in to work with. So I got 9 linebackers, and I said I'm going with 5 for week one on the D-line.
I agree that Freddie Bishop makes this team. I don't think Martin makes this team, so we agree on that, too.
Thus far, we're really just Riley for Catapano.
Yeah, that's the only thing, yep.
Getting into the corners, I have Revis Williams, Burris, and Milner because I got screen. I'm labeling him that slot just because numbers-wise. And the guy that I think doesn't so much deserve to be on this team but will be is Dex McDougal. But I feel Dex is your 1 week. Sheldon's on suspension, gives you an extra week to get a peek at him on the practice squad, and he has practice squad eligibility.
So you keep him on for 1 week, you cut him, then you send him to the practice squad. Is that what you think is
going
to happen?
And
so
I don't
we're
think
carry
a guy like Dex McDougal can really say, I'm not playing for your practice squad because he's hardly suited up for an NFL game.
So we're going to carry 5 corners this year.
Well, yeah, I think. But if it was up to Bowles, he would carry 6 or 7.
Exactly. That seems like a little weak of a position there.
I think we go with the extra linebacker or two for our special teams unit. Because truthfully, there's only so much a corner can do. A linebacker with phenomenal speed could, in theory, be a gunner. Or he can come inside and play left guard on the punt team.
I think that Darren Lee's hybrid abilities help the reason why we're only going to carry 5 to 6 cornerbacks.
Because you can almost look at him as almost playing a safety-type role sometimes,
exactly.
Something along those lines.
A cover guy.
I could buy that. So I got McDougal on the roster for at least a week. Therefore, I'm carrying 6 at the corner spot, 9 at linebacker. 5 on the D-line. And as we said earlier, I'm going 4 at safety with Gilchrist, Pryor, Miles, and Middleton. Let's wrap up special teams so we can get into the offense where we may have a little something to talk about.
I think that the special teams is wrapped up for itself. Cut Russ Martin.
Yep.
We know who he is. Yep.
Lachlan Edwards, booming a ball in camp.
Oh, my goodness. Shown, this guy looks great.
Has shown quite well in live action as well. Kicking out there, preseason, consistently inside the 10. Again, we want to get greedy. Let's get it inside the 5. But I'm just happy to have a punter that can put some damn air under the ball.
Yep.
Really, he's
He's skying him, man.
Folks' leg looks healthy. And Tan of the Beast Purdom. What more can you ask for out of a long snapper?
You can't. Nothing to talk about there.
That authentic Tanner Purdom at training camp made my day. Made my day.
With the long snapper, that long snapper in high school?
Yeah, the high school, the Jersey long snapper.
I love it. That means you got some fans out there.
Right, let's kick it over to the offensive side here. You know what? We're going backwards with this, too. We're going at right tackle first. Breno, obviously, still hurt. Do you think he starts off on the pup before we get into numbers?
No, I don't think. Because I don't think they want to lose him for 6 weeks.
Sadly, I agree with you. The pause was perfect because it should have been there. I think he should be on the pup. But I don't think there's any shot of him starting on the pup simply because he would have and should have been put there with Devin Smith Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday of this week. And he wasn't. So I think in terms of tipping a hand, but they had to, because if you put him there, you're not hiding anything. I think they tipped their hand there.
I think they hold on to him as long as they can because they don't want to lose him for 6 weeks if he can come back before then, because I think that they believe that he's the most conditioned tackle we got on this team.
It's going to be interesting to see, though, how you carry the amount of tackles we have to carry and have depth on the interior. We're obviously getting there right now. Brandon Schell, anything you have seen to make you more excited than you were from draft day?
Obviously,
I am par for the course right now.
Obviously, I talked about the last couple weeks that he possibly could have been the starter, but you were totally right on that. He's not ready, but he's not ready to be cut because another team would pick him up very quickly.
Honestly, par for the course for me. It's what I expected him to look like year one. I expect a huge jump from him year two, and I truly think he can position himself to be a starter as soon as 2017 for this team.
You mean Giacomini's gone, Shell steps in.
I'd love to see what happens this year because Brent Quale is the guy I feel is your starter. Ben Ajalana
is my starter.
Hey, look at that. I was just going to say a lot of people feel. I didn't know that. To me, Brent Quale is the starter. Same thing I was saying with Martin, working with him for a year in terms of the argument with Middleton. You've been working with Ben Ajalana for 3 years now.
I think that the coaches made it obvious to us that they wanted him out there with the first team every time. So I think that they trust him a little bit more than they think Quale. And like you said before, been on this team for 3 years. Why not get the player that's been on this team for 3 years who's gotten this first team reps?
If you think Ajalana is a guy that honestly can start at right tackle for you and is good enough to do that, why did it take the Brickashaw Ferguson retiring for him to be offered a contract?
I just think that both these players are a toss-up, and you got to pick one of them. And if they're both a toss-up, for the player who's getting those first-team reps, especially in the start of games like preseason, I'm going to go with that guy to start the season. Hopefully, Breno comes back quickly. Obviously, this position is going to give us headaches all season.
The only other tackle that is on the roster right now, you're looking at Ryan Clady. Obviously, you're starting left tackle there. We've talked about starting right tackle. At right guard, you're looking at Brian Winters. I think Winters, as we said, is in a position to make himself some serious money this year.
And the question Todd Bowles was asked the other day, who is his two most improved players this year? And he said right into it, Buster Skrine and Brian Winters, the only two players he noticed.
He also said that he's developed quite the relationship with the Winters because he said he felt he didn't spend enough time on the offensive side of the ball last year. And Brian Winters is a guy who apparently he kicked it off with when he started doing just that.
I'm extremely impressed by Winters from his whole career with the Jets.
It's a regular type of career arc that used to be able to be accomplished. Nowadays, if you're a 1-4, you're almost expected to start. I think I can say that honestly.
Yeah.
In reality, 1's expected to start. 2 should be a starter. 3, you're looking at a starter the following year. And 4 is your ultimate. I think he can be a ball player, but it's a little bit of a project right now.
And he needs
some
work.
That was the old school mold of it. That's all kind of being meshed together now with the amount of talent that's came out in previous years and what that talent has done soon as they've gotten to the league. Craig Watts, only other guy that I personally feel is sitting there on the right side, only guy that's really gotten burned on that right side, and a player who, coming into camp, I didn't think about thinking about twice, and he has turned heads, if you ask me. I think he's a big reason why Jarvis Harrison got cut. I really do. Kicking over to the left side, James Carpenter's our starter there. That's far and away, in my opinion, our best lineman outside of Nick Mangold right now. And you can argue he's better than Mangold where he's at in his career at this point.
I think that Clady might be the second best lineman on this league, on this team. Like you said, Carpenter. Yeah, I think Carpenter's great, and he's done a great job since he's been here. But I think that Clady, we need to know that he's a Pro Bowler. He's a guy that's taken over DeBrickashaw's position, who's going to be a good right tackle for us. I mean, left tackle.
I think he's going to actually give us an upgrade on the left side. I think replacing the brick, as we've said in the locker room, is the big hurdle. I think replacing the brick on the field isn't going to be as hard as you think. I really don't. Mike Leidke and Dakota Dozier. Dozier, kind of a swingman between center, guard.
Dakota Dozier is such a utility player. Is that all these players that you have before him, Watts and Johnson, those are all expendable players because our tackle position is our weakest position. So you got to keep more of the tackles on there.
Are you comfortable keeping a Dakota Dozier as your only swing interior offensive lineman?
I am. I think that he can play center if need be, and I think he can play both guard positions if need be.
Okay. Good enough for me. Final 53. What are you carrying?
I'm carrying 9 total. I think that we talked about this pre-show. Clady, Ben, Carpenter, Dozier, Mangold, Winners, Quale, and Shell, and you got to hold Giacomini because he's not going to go on the pup.
And we said no pup, yeah. It's an odd situation there, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays itself out because Giacomini's another one that I think it wouldn't be hard to upgrade on the field from. So does he get Wally pipped by a Brent Quale, by a Ben Ajulana? I think it's possible. I really do.
I do think it's possible, but I don't think it will happen if he's healthy.
I think it says a lot that it won't happen. Again, the fact that they didn't put him on the pup. I think it is such a telling sign that he was not put on the physically unable to perform list.
And personally, I think that Bowles likes Breno. I think that he likes the energy. He likes that he sticks up for his quarterback.
I can buy that.
So I think that's
and
what
like
he brings
to the
table.
And like you said earlier, he's an old ball player. Old ball players like that. You know what I mean? That's the code they live by, yep, if you want to put it that way. Getting into tight end.
Oh.
I don't even know who you stand behind and truly say, he's clearly the best. He's clearly got to be on this team. I wish I was saying that about Jason Morrow right now.
I think this position stinks.
I literally had to put Jason Morrow 4th on this depth chart. Kellen Davis is up top because the coaching staff has Kellen Davis up top. I don't think Kellen Davis should be selling cause. I think he's an incompetent human being. I totally agree,
and I think that he should be cut one of the last cuts this year.
I got Sudfeld as the number 2 right now. I feel he's personally the number 1 and the most impressive of the group.
Totally agree. Even with that fumble in the last game, I think that he still brings more than any other tight end brings.
Only black eye on the resume right now, truthfully. It really is. It's of this offseason. It's just he's been impressive, and supposedly he looked this way last year.
And I think that they've always liked him, especially getting hurt last year and keeping him on the team and whatnot. I think they've always liked Sudfeld.
Brandon Bostic, Jace Amaro. It hurts. It hurts, man, the future I thought we had with him. And Wes Saxton. That rounds out what we're looking at now. What are you going into the season with?
I'm going in with 2. Hopefully they cut Kellen Davis. And I'll tell you, I'll explain why later when we get through the rest of this offense.
But for now,
why
let me
I think,
get back to this paper.
I'm that's right. Explain why I think they'll get rid of Kellen Davis. So I got Sudfeld and Amaro. On to the abundance of wide receivers that we have.
Abundance of talent at the same time.
That's
though.
Right. I
that's
agree.
What makes this argument that we're about to have difficult.
Let me name the players that are on the team right now. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Kenbrell Tompkins, Robbie Anderson, Sharon Peak, Quincy Anua, Devin Smith on the pup list, Jeremy Ross, Jalen Marshall, and Chandler Worthy.
That brings us to a total of 9. How many are you going into week 1 with?
I thought it was 13. It looked like so many names there. But I have to go in with 7. I have to go in with 7. I have to keep, obviously, we're going to keep Brandon. Obviously, we're going to keep
Are you
Decker.
Keeping Kenbrell? This is who I want to know if you're keeping. Because we talked about our different stances on this, and I'm almost on your side of the street with this.
And
one.
The reason why I'm going to keep Kembrell, this is the reason.
Oh, because now you're on my side of the street.
I have to be. I have to be. I have to be with two injuries, okay? I have to be with a Devin Smith pup list early, and I have to keep him because of Quincy Enunwa with a concussion. And nowadays in the NFL, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's a good point.
You don't know what's going to happen, so I need a player there, especially a player with a little bit of experience, because I don't want to go into the season with Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Anderson, Peak, and Jalen Marshall now. Is that what we want to go into the season with? I don't think so.
I personally felt like you would be absolutely excited to do that.
I would be, except I just want some experience at that third wide receiver spot.
Was part of my argument last week or the week before.
And
when
if Quincy doesn't have a concussion, I'm okay with Kembrough leaving this team. No problem with Kembrough off this team.
I'm also going with seven. Real convenient that we're going with the same seven, but obviously we chopped this up pre-show. We get an idea we're looking at, and we sway each other one way or the other a little bit going into it.
It was pretty easy, you know?
It wasn't too easy. It's easy to justify carrying these three young guys.
Well, it's nine to seven.
To me, Marshall versus Jeremy Ross is an honest camp battle and argument worth having right now, because Jeremy Ross has done nothing but good things and nothing to say he hasn't deserved his spot.
I agree with that, but I think that the talent of Jalen Marshall and his possible ceiling is too great to lose in the waiver wire.
I'll definitely get on board with that. Do you feel the same way with Sharon Peak?
Our young guys, except for everybody except for Worthy and Ross, those guys are, you put them on the waiver wire, say goodbye to them. They're not coming back.
I think Worthy's got a shot because of McCagnan's ties in the back channels of the NFL. I think Worthy's got a shot to stick on again with somebody. I personally feel he's got a shot to stick on our practice squad.
And cut
the
Peak?
Type of camp he's had. No, practice squad.
Oh, okay.
With
sorry,
the type of
sorry.
Camp he's had. You said everybody we're cutting. You know, I'm saying I think Worthy can actually play for somebody else as well. I really do. I think Worthy's had a very, very good camp. I'm going Marshall, Decker, Tompkins, Anderson, Peak, Enunwa, Marshall. I have slot. H-back for Enunwa. Call him whatever you want to call him. He's the third pass-catching option on this offense. And you could maybe say Forte, so call him fourth, but cutting out the running back position.
If he's there week one, everybody's going to see him get the ball a lot this year.
I agree with that, and I think he is there week one. He's back in the practice field. No contact, Jerry's back in the practice field. And you're talking about another what?
2 weeks.
12, 13 days before week one. I think we can get by with Enunwa there. I think he'll clear. Fullback position, we are still carrying it, in my opinion, and it's going to be Tommy Bohannon.
Tommy Bo, baby.
Julian Housar came back for a second year with us, and I'd like to see Julian Housar come back for a third year with us next year.
You know how I love those small school guys. I definitely think he's back on the practice squad. I don't think any other team is really looking at him.
I don't even know
like
if you really got to worry about carrying him on the practice squad. It's nice to. He's the type of work hard hat, whatever analogy you want to use that you want to have on a team, and you keep your $X million wide receiver grounded a little bit. You know what I mean? Just to pick a position there. But I think he's a guy who'll be out there later on, even if you don't want to use a practice squad spot on him. And I think with a year and a half now of playing the position at an NFL level, I think maybe if you don't bring back a Bohannon, or if you were to lose a Bohannon, you could be looking at your starter fullback there for 2017.
That's totally possible. I would love that. I'd love that. I think that he's done a lot. He put a lot of work in. Let me get into the running backs, though. We got Matt Forte, Bilal Powell, Robinson, Dominique Williams, and Anton Smith.
Antoine Smith got a lot of burn.
He did, but I just think they're just trying to check him out a little bit.
He didn't get a lot of yards, though.
No, not at all.
No.
And I don't think he can catch the ball well either. So who I'm carrying three, like everybody assumes here. Every Jet fan knows we're carrying three.
Powell, Robinson.
Do we have to talk about any more?
Would you be willing to move on from Robinson for Carlos Williams?
No.
Visited the Jets, got it. Good enough for me?
No.
Good enough for me. You
I think
put
Robinson
on the amount
good
of weight that Carlos Williams put on. Give me the excuse you gave me and then get popped for drug use? No, thank you.
I think Robinson is that hard-nosed guy that we want on the third, our third guy.
No.
Earth, wind, and fire, baby. Earth, wind, and fire.
I'm excited to see what Kyrie Robinson can bring to the offense, because we've said how much we've lost with Chris Ivory in terms of the power running game. And Forte and Powell, to me, are 1 and 1A And that's what they are in terms of play style as well.
Yeah.
I think Powell is a Matt Forte type of back.
Smaller, but yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
smaller and doesn't have a third of the resume that Matt Forte has.
Yeah. The only thing Bilal lacks in the whole Forte talk is the power that Forte can bring. But I think catching the ball and getting away and getting the extra yards falling forward, I think Powell is that player. I think that we could have survived without Forte this year and Powell being the starter.
I want to go somewhere prior to getting into the quarterback position here. We're not breaking down if we should be carrying four. We've done that. We've talked about that. They know our stance on that. I want to know if you really think we can get something for Geno Smith or Bryce Petty. And I want to know if you think come Saturday at 4 p.m. there is or isn't four quarterbacks on this roster.
I think there definitely is four quarterbacks. That's why I wanted to save that for later. That's why I think Kellen Davis is getting cut, is because we have to keep four quarterbacks unless you get a trade for Geno. But I don't think we're trading Geno. I think Geno not playing this week says to me that, okay, we know what we have here. He's going to be our backup if Fitz goes down. We don't really we love Petty, but we don't think Petty's ready to go in there. If Fitz goes down week one, do we want Petty in there for 16 weeks? I don't think that they're ready to say that, so I think you have to keep Geno. And then according to Hackenberg, to talk about Hackenberg, you can't put him on waivers because he won't get passed. He won't be on this team. So you have to carry four. Kellen Davis, for me, is the odd man out. He's a waste of space, in my opinion, anyway. Why not?
I told you pre-show when we were having that conversation, I want Matthew Mulligan brought back. Lions just moved on from Matthew Mulligan, our old blocking tight end. Had a great spot with Westhoff in Hard Knocks where he goes one-on-one with him. And do what you do good, Westhoff is telling him to do.
So not to get into what you didn't want to get into, but does that mean you still carry four?
I think if you're not getting a deal for Geno, you have to carry four because you're not moving on from Bryce Petty. I'm not even going to entertain the idea of waiving Hackenberg. That's not only not an option, I would never do that.
And sorry, for me, if we get rid of Geno, I think a sixth-round pick is suitable.
Conditional seventh, I think, at best. Conditional sixth, I would have packed his bags for him already. I know the injuries that have been going on at the quarterback position around the NFL the last, let's say, week has strengthened the argument of you can get something for Geno. I truly don't think you can. So I think Saturday at 4 o'clock, there is four quarterbacks on this roster.
You know, yesterday we heard horrible news. Teddy Bridgewater goes down with an ACL injury.
That's non-contract. He had a big year.
Yeah, I like Teddy. But now they have Sean Hill. Are they ready to do 16 games with Sean Hill, or do they want to try Geno Smith, who's had success, a little success in this league?
Geno Smith would take 16 weeks to learn a new offense. So it don't matter. He's going to be of no help starting-wise to anybody.
So you don't think teams are biting at the bit now who needs a quarterback?
Not one team, in my opinion, is chomping at any bit to make a deal with the New York Jets for Geno Smith.
Or Bryce Petty.
I could see Bryce Petty moved before I can really see somebody calling for Geno Smith.
To be a starter? To come in for...
No, that's the only reason I think the phone's even ringing at all for Geno Smith. I think in terms of being a backup, there's a lot of places where Geno Smith would be far and away the best backup option for them right now. I don't think anybody's interested.
Okay.
So as a starter, with the minimal but enough to say he has experience starting, I think he offers value there to a team if they're truly uncomfortable going in with a Hill, going in with a Prescott. I can see that. I actually don't see anybody that says I need him as my backup, though.
I think Prescott's impressing the whole league.
Preseason.
Yeah.
I want to see when a defense is planning for him. I want to see on 3rd and 8 when they're zone dogging.
I'm ready for week 1.
Then I'll say, man, look at Dak Prescott. As usual, everybody, want to thank you for tuning in, for downloading another week in the books. The next time we come to you, the 2016 New York Jets would have been assembled. I look forward to it.
I'm excited, baby.
You can find us on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, throw us a follow on Twitter at NYJCowScouts. Send us a question and comments, and look out for our future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, and our co-founder, David Schwendeman, as well. And once again to you guys, you keep listening, we'll keep bringing it to you, baby. Till next week, until week 1, let's get one, Jet fans.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free. Hey!